Good day, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to SSR2 plenary call number 82 on 11 September 2019 at 1400 UTC. Attending the call today is Lauren Boban, Danko, Eric, Cave, Navid, Ram, Denise, Russ, and Zarko. Apologies from Norm and Carrie Ann. Attending from ICANN.org, we have Jennifer, Nagar, Steve, and Brenda. Technical writer Heather has joined. And today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. And Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Okay, welcome. The I suggest that we take item number three first. Because I think it'll be short. The doodle poll clearly shows that we're going to get more people on January 16th and 17th. So I suggest we just pick those dates. Based on a discussion on the leadership call, it became very clear that we would get at least one more person if we held the meeting in DC. And so I suggest that we do the two-day meeting, January 16th and 17th, at the ICANN office in D.C. Does that cause a problem for anyone? Okay. Jennifer, could I ask you to send a note to that effect, just so that anybody who's not here has an opportunity to scream before we go final with that?
Hi, Russ. We can certainly do that. And do you mind if we put a date on it, like say by end of day Friday?
That'd be more than do I mind. Please.
Great. Thank you. That'll allow us to get the travel team informed immediately. Thank you. We'll do that.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so then we're gonna go to the document that Jennifer sent out earlier today. I'm not sure, Denise, are you the one who's gonna walk through this?
I certainly can. I'd invite other members of the subgroup to join in as well.
Okay.
So the subgroup was, on abuse was Norm, Casey, Eric, Lauren, Carrie Ann, and Scott.
Can everyone hear Denise? Oh,
could Denise get closer to a microphone?
Yeah, she's very quiet.
We can, you know, I'll move this. Wait. What, Russ, if you go back where you were and Denise, you stay there, I'll move this thing.
I'm sure this, I think this cord is going to be your problem.
It may not necessarily be that we have to display it up high for everyone. But.
Bear with us, everyone.
See. What? It just would have to be through. Let's see if this works. Yeah, this is good. Good point. Okay.
Okay, can people hear me? I'll take that as a no.
Yes. I hear you, Russ.
Okay. All right, Denise, over to you.
Okay, so if you recall, this subgroup has been researching, analyzing, discussing, and creating findings and recommendations in the area of abuse and compliance. The document that you have is an updated draft. It still needs some work, but the major findings and recommendations, I think, are there. The recommendations list at the top needs to be updated, so don't lose that. But as I think we discussed on a previous call, Lauren, I think you were leading that discussion, we discussed the findings where we outlined the global threats to SSR, to provide context for the findings and recommendations that provides high-level information and references relating to the various attack vectors and abuse, malware, digital certificate fraud, phishing, business email compromise, scams, botnets, spam, DDoS attacks. With that overview and context, we then highlighted some important actions that ICANN has taken in the context of these threats. That touches on, at a high level, action on the new GTLD abuse, the relevant areas of the RAA, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, the GTLD registry agreements. And I think additional information needs to be provided there. And the focus there was on the new GTLD base registry agreement, the update of that, and the update of that base agreement. And then the sort of data and advice activities by ICANN, touching on the SAC, the Security Stability and Advisory Committee, particularly relevant reports that have been published in the past, the GAT, Governmental Advisory Committee, some additional information needs to be provided there, and relevant recommendations offered by the RDS review, that's the WHOIS review that just completed, and the CCT review, the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice. Also touches on the DAR program and ICANN compliance. And then that takes us down on page 9 to the recommendations that this subgroup has been working on. They fall into 3 general buckets, starting on page 9. The buckets involve compliance, is one. Second bucket is abuse definitions and reporting. And third bucket is policies and agreements with contracted parties. Again, some additional work needs to be done, but there's definitely enough substance here for team members to weigh in on the draft recommendations that the subgroup has put forward. So I'll starting with the first bucket on page 9, I'll sort of briefly run through these, and again, the rest of the subgroup members should please weigh in where appropriate. So the first bucket of first recommendation is regarding compliance, and that the board and ICANN.org should fundamentally change the compliance regime by taking necessary steps to amend the contracted party agreements, establish procedures to address systemic abuse involving contracted parties, and move its register and registry compliance activities to an independent compliance office outsourced to an established auditing firm. So additional details on these recommendations are included in the bullets there. So the changes to the contracted party agreements include some recommendations for amendments related to abuse mitigation measures and obligations, focusing on ensuring that compliance office has enforcement mechanisms to treat the abuse that we've outlined, that contract changes should be moved forward to establish procedures to address the systemic abuse. And these include moving forward with under the current abuse definition that was vetted by the community and has been in place for several years, have SAC work with well-established abuse mitigation organizations outside of ICANN to define systemic abuse for ICANN's use and agree on an acceptable level of abuse countermeasures for contracted parties. And use this as a basis to amend the contracts as soon as possible, the latest during the next renewal cycle.
Can I ask a question here?
Yeah.
Maybe I went through this too fast. I've only had it a little while, but what is the difference between colloquial and legal?
Yeah, who wrote that? Yeah, I think Carrie Ann. I think that's Carrie Ann's language.
I just don't know what it means.
Yeah.
I believe the idea, I'm sorry, this is Lauren. I believe the idea, if I remember this correctly, is that essentially one definition is, you know, colloquial, right? So, okay, what does abuse include? And then the other one is framed in appropriate legal terms so that the definition kind of works inside a legal document, and, you know, which might be slightly different from the way we would phrase this.
Right? Okay.
So I think that's the only
actually idea. That to me is a worry, because if you're talking about amending a legal agreement, the RAA, you better be meaning one that's not colloquial.
So
this is exactly the point.
So I think, you know, to sort of add to what I think, this is Eric, I think to add a little bit to what Lauren's saying, to maybe kind of bridge the two things there, is I think what I got out of that was that the understanding that DNS abuse is defined by a technical community, several technical communities. There's no clear reason why it ever should show up as legal terms from their perspective, but we need it to. And in fact, we need to underscore that this has to be there, because I mean, if you look at some of the provisions like in GDPR,
right,
that was done from the reverse. It was done legally, and then technical people, you figure it out. And then there's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I think, and we've done it's the reverse here with DNS abuse. The abuse community keeps evolving what we think abuse is. But if we don't actually put the energy into saying this is how you effectuate legally, then some version will show up and it may not map. So I think we need to have something very concerted there to do that mapping.
Then I think that should be a recommendation to start with.
Okay.
A big question. So and please raise more, as I said, additional work needs to be done by the subgroup on this text. I'm making a note that this needs to be clarified, and we'll make sure, I guess Carrie Ann's on the call, but we'll make sure that we circle back with her and she has an opportunity to clarify that. Because the goal indeed is to make sure that clauses on systemic abuse and required countermeasures included in the contract make them enforceable and very explicit, and make sure SLAs are in place that help.
All of that makes sense to me. Okay. This was the piece that I couldn't fit into that puzzle.
And then I think then the in the compliance area, the sort of next, the additional recommendation that came out of the subgroup was the subgroup, I think, spent a lot of time looking at ICANN's compliance activities over the last decade, talking to compliance, getting a lot of, you know, Q&As and additional information, and where the subgroup is interested in moving compliance is to address the inherent conflicts that we have with ICANN and compliance. Similar to financial institutions that outsource their auditing work, the subgroup is suggesting that ICANN move its compliance activities to a neutral third-party auditor. This would help address the inherent conflicts in ICANN enforcing on the registrar and registry parties that it receives a large majority of its financial support. So that's the recommendation on the table. that I can would establish an independent compliance office outsourced to an established auditing firm with staff with significant compliance experience and some understanding of DNS abuse mitigation and the register and registry industries. The suggestion is that this compliance office be empowered to react to complaints and require compliance to initiate investigations and enforce against those aiding and abetting systemic abuse. This could include step-by-step authority for the escalation of enforcement measures and implementable actions that can be used for failure to remedy in specific timeframes. It's also recommended that compliance partner with complainants rather than simply partnering with contracted parties. So partnering with complainants and making sure that its processes are set up to serve the public interest. It's recommended that compliance default approach should involve SLAs on enforcement reporting, clear and efficient processes, and fully informed complainant enforcement and reporting process with maximum public disclosure. Some similar and related recommendations have just come up in the RCAP. Well, are in the RDS review recommendations, so we've included a note to make sure that we capture that as well. And that specious complaints should be reflected in the public record as well. The subgroup notes that ICANN compliance has a history of keeping complainants and the public in the dark and accommodating contracted parties rather than public interest and is calling for that approach to end. So unless there are questions and comments, and of course I think the subgroup would encourage team members to also follow up on email and provide additional comments on the list on this. The second recommendation area in abuse and definitions and reporting, it's on page 10, recommending that the board and ICANN board overhaul ICANN's approach to DNS abuse definitions, tracking and reporting. This includes implementing community review recommendations, that's specifically the CCT review and the RDS review and other security related actions. Act now using the current DNS abuse definition and in parallel use international conventions to evolve the definition and finally to create a single portal for all complaints and make public reporting mandatory. So the subgroup is recommending that ICANN implement the CCT review and RDS review recommendations, particularly those related to abuse and security and other security-related action based on the current community-vetted abuse definitions without delay. There's a suggestion there no later than 2020, which I think we should talk about some more.
Given our document won't even come out till 2020.
Yeah, so we need to that date. But I think these recommendations also need to add additional text to make sure these are SMART goals and we're thinking about specific activities and recommendations. The subgroup does not agree with the board and its actions to park a substantial number of CCT review recommendations and start a tabula rasa discussion about what DNS abuse means. The current DNS abuse definition that ICANN has been using for the last several years is well vetted by the community, reviewed by staff every year, and is, we feel, actionable. But we also think that the abuse definition needs to keep pace and evolve with cybersecurity threats. And so So we're recommending that ICANN adopt the additional term and evolving external definition of security threat, a term that's used by the ICANN DAR project. It's been used many times by the GAC and is also used by operational security communities and use this in conjunction with the ICANN's current DNS abuse definitions. We provide information citations relating to the Convention on Cybercrime as a reference resource. For assisting with this security threat definition. And I think the group found it important to note that the expertise in security threats does not reside generally in the ICANN community, and that similar to ICANN's reliance on external organizations like the UN and ISO to define what a nation state is, to assign CCTLDs, ICANN should recognize the external expertise in this area as well, and use the widely acknowledged and use cybercrime conventions and to make sure that it evolves its definition and uses its external expertise in its work. So the final area in this, final point in this area is that ICANN should establish and maintain a single complaint portal for all complaints that that automatically directs the complaint to the relevant party. This proposal is that the system would act as an inflow with data flowing upstream, that it be mandatory for all GTLDs, that CCTLDs should be invited to join. This would enable ICANN to much more accurately track the data, publish yearly reports, track the complaint workflow. Can you run over to jump in anytime, Lauren, if you want to add some more to this here?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Should I?
Yeah.
Okay. So the idea is essentially for, a complaint, if there is a complaint, it can be put in one single place. That system will then automatically forward to the appropriate contracted party. They can then essentially deal with it like with any normal ticket system. And if they don't deal with it in a certain amount of time, it can be escalated to the next level. The idea is as well that so complaint goes to contracted party addresses the complaint, and then would fill in like a little spreadsheet or something like that, where they would say, okay, we looked at this complaint, yes, we took action, and then, what action was taken, or they can say, well, we cannot take action, and then they might be able to choose from different reasons, an obvious one being within the jurisdiction we're operating, this is not something we can do. Sorry, right? This like short report kind of goes back up, so you can see some statistics on what's going on, but not necessarily all the content. And what this would also do would then be that the person who complained to the organization, that complained, gets something back that says, oh, this was dealt with, but only X could be done. So that would also simplify for them how to move.
And so, obviously, an attractive part of this is that it would enable improved complaint reporting and security threat reporting, and there'd be a much higher level of transparency and public access to the complaint workflow. In addition, in the public reporting area, the subgroup has recommendations relating to DAR to ensure that the data abuse, and I can't remember what DAR stands for, something reporting, so it's DAAR is the acronym, to ensure its utility, the subgroup is recommending, has specific recommendations for that the data gathering for DAR should not be rate limited, that reports should be published that identify registries and registrars that most contribute to abuse, should illustrate entities with persistently very high abuse domain registrations. Published reports should provide tabular data in an accessible process of full form, in addition to the graphical data, and the DAR project should also have access to pricing data. And I think another thing missing here is API access So that rounds out the second bucket of area of recommendations for the task group, for the subgroup. The third is, recommendation focuses on policies and agreements with contracted parties. The subgroup is recommending that I can adopt new ones that meaningfully impact the mitigation of DNS abuse and security threats. This includes changes to who is, incentives for contracted parties for abuse mitigation, incorporating measures to mitigate DNS abuse and security threats in agreements with contracted parties, establishing performance metrics, and institutionalizing training and certification of contracted parties and key stakeholders. To dive into this a little bit, the subgroup has spent time looking at the changes to the WHOIS policy and the serious impediments that has caused for security investigators, abuse mitigation, and the threat to DNS security, stability, and resiliency. And is recommending as a matter of urgency that ICANN ensure access for parties with legitimate purposes via contractual obligations and with rigorous compliance rather than as a voluntary implementation, which is the current setup. I think there we'll need to add some additional language regarding how this connects with ICANN board's action and the current policy development activity that's underway. And so in addition to noting the need to address rate limiting for the DAR project and other reporting systems, there's also recommendations to rigorously enforce the uniform centralized zone data service requirements, noting that continuous access to these zone files are a critical part of abuse mitigation, investigation, and research. The subgroup is recommending incentivizing contracted parties to mitigate abuse and security threats. There's an historical basis for this recommendation, as ICANN Oregon in the past has rewarded contracted parties with fee reductions to incentivize certain business practices. Domain tasting, elimination of domain tasting is a good example of this. The existing contract framework enables ICANN to impose changes unilaterally and immediately. ICANN Oregon should take the subgroup is recommending the following actions that ICANN should take. That contracted parties with portfolios that have less than 1% abusive domain names as identified by commercial providers and or DAR receive a fee reduction. This could be a reduction from current fees, or ICANN could increase the current per domain name transaction fee and provide a registrar with a discount down to the current 0.18% per domain name for low levels, for low abuse levels. Recommend
it's 18 cents, right?
Yeah, 18 cents. Okay. Recommending that registrars receive a fee reduction for each domain name registered to a verified registrar. And three, that any RSTEP fees be waived when in connection with an RSTEP filing that will demonstrably mitigate DNS abuse, and that any registry RSTEP receives pre-approval if it permits an EPP field at the registry level to designate those domain names as under management of a verified registrar. So validation, verification of registrants also would have an important impact on mitigating abuse. So the subgroup is suggesting specific ways to help incentivize that. So this is very much the carrot approach. Has worked well in the past for ICANN, as an example, eliminating domain tasting, and we're recommending that it be used again. Then the final, let me see, another element of this area of recommendations is incorporating measures to mitigate DNS abuse and security threats in the agreements with contracted parties, including the registry agreements and the RIA agreements with the registrars. And then there's some specific suggestions from the subgroup that this include as a priority provisions that establish thresholds with allowable thresholds of abuse, recommending 3% of registration or 30 total, whichever is higher, at which compliance inquiries are automatically triggered. And with the higher threshold, recommending 10% of all registration, at which registrars and registries are presumed to be in default of their agreements. This approach also was underscored in the CCT review, citation there, and the SSR2 also recommends it. In addition, ICANN should publish a list of enforcement tools identified by ICANN compliance as needed to combat abuse and security threats, coordinate closely with relevant non-contracted parties to identify additional gaps within ICANN's contracts and contribute to abuse and security activities, develop a list of impactful contractual updates to guide negotiations, ensure non-contracted party representatives who are thought leaders on abuse and security threat mitigation are involved in all base contract negotiations, and endorse the changes. One of the things that the subgroup found was that there was a pretty large disconnect between abuse experts and cybersecurity experts and those that were actually at the table creating the contracts. So it's felt it was important to bring those experts and representatives to the table to ensure that the contracts adequately address security threats and abuse. The group also recommended we make sure that ICANN's legal authority to address compliance, security, and their stability in the DNS is clearly articulated in the bylaws and service level agreements. I think that's an area that Carrie Ann would be able to expand upon. And then finally, the group felt there's more work to be done in institutionalizing training and certifications for contracted parties and key stakeholders, particularly with the large growth in recent years of the number and diversity of back-end registries and the, frankly, hacks and security threats that have plagued registrars in recent years. So recommending that there's automatic tracking of complaint numbers. The portal will help with this and treatment of complaints. We note the inflow system require quarterly and yearly public reports on complaints and actions analysis and robust training and certificate for registrars and back-end registries. That's it.
So I note that the presumed in default section of those two bullets back is exactly taxed out of the CCT review.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically what that recommendation is really saying is please do the CCT part.
Right.
Okay.
And one of the things we may want to look at is making this, pulling together the CCT and RDS recommendations that are relevant and were endorsed by the SSR2 team and re-recommend them.
Yeah, this is Eric. One of the things that I was thinking earlier, and this really underscores, is that, you know, if we show the logic that we've used to come to the same conclusion, as opposed to just saying you should do the same thing. If we say we think you should adopt the same thing and we don't give any transparency into our thinking, it could maybe just get ignored a little easier. But if like this is very like methodical and supporting the same conclusion, we could even tack on the end. We note this is completely in line with the CCT review, and I think it has more teeth that way. So I like the way it is.
So that's a way of structuring the findings. It doesn't change the recommendation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Good. Yep. All right. Just wanted to make sure I understood. I'm not seeing any hands in Zoom. Are there others who... what I think I would like to do is give everybody time to digest this. I realize you only got the document today, but if you have any concerns about the direction that this team is going, let's raise them on the list before the call next week. Anyone have concerns with that?
Works for me.
All right. And I can ask Jennifer to send around a Google Doc for comments, so it's simple for everyone to also just comment there.
Thank you, Dave.
Say that louder. Oh, I'm too quiet. I will ask Jennifer to send around a Google Doc, but everyone, please make sure you use the kind of mode where you don't just edit, but where you suggest, so it's simple to track comments and changes.
Sounds good.
I'm hearing silence, which I'm taking to mean that people are liking the direction this is going. I can't read the chat.
Still reading.
Of course, still reading.
Yeah, still reading. It's a lot of stuff, and that's from Bowman and Ramses, same here.
Yeah, of course. That's why I said by next week.
Hi, this is Boban. Next week sounds great. Yeah, thank you. And it looks good. It looks pretty good, but I need more time. I'm on page 3 of, I don't think, the first thing. But I think it's on a good way.
Okay. I think that brings us to any other business. Okay, I'm not hearing any. So, Jennifer, could you take us through the actions and decisions?
Thank you. This is Jennifer. Just a couple of action items. First of all, for staff to send the dates, I believe it was the 16th and 17th of January from the Doodle poll, with the proposal to meet in DC on those dates. And then if any of our VT members have issues, please let us know by end of day, wherever you are in the world, on Friday. And then I see that Lauren just sent me that document that was discussed on the call. So we'll put it into a Google Doc, and please make comments in suggest mode ahead of next week's call on Wednesday. Those are the actions that I captured, and I didn't get any decisions other than the tentative DC meeting date. So let me know if I missed anything. Thank you.
This is Lauren, just a note. So this is already a Google Doc, so no conversion needed.
Excellent. One last thing to do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you all. Bye.